Harmon's daddy is Ralph. Can you confirm that? Well, anyway, 2 weeks from tonight, everybody bring somebody with you and come back the Garmins, and you won't hear better three-part harmony than what they sang. How many of you know what happened in 1945 tomorrow, September the 2nd, 1945? How many of you know? Anybody with an idea? Pastor? Anybody? Japan surrendered and signed a treaty ending World War II. World War II. Right now, let's go to 270 and do all four verses of Jesus Paid It All. Not part of it, but all of it. And then after that, we want to do one verse of another song honoring the military and our freedom. So remain standing. Everybody stand. 270. Let's remain standing. The Star Spangled Banner.
Proudly we live and Thank you once again. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Appreciate the freedoms and the liberties that we have in this country. Appreciate the sacrifices that were made. There's been many a young men and women who have laid down their lives that we may have this freedom and liberty that we, if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time take for granted. But I'm thankful today for this great privilege. And I hope that you count it as a privilege when we get to come to the Lord's house. Be anything on anyone's heart this morning, maybe before we change the course of the order of the service, anything at all. If not, my thought today is being carried away. Carried away. If you were here this morning for our Sunday school lesson, our thought this morning is going to run pretty parallel with what Brother Wheat taught this morning, Brother Mike. And no less words, that was basically what he taught on. And I love it when the Lord works that way. I had no idea what he was going to teach on or what. I don't think he knew what I was going to preach on. Certainly I believe the Lord is in this message. And I pray that this word might be an encouragement to you. And it might be a help to you. As I began to ponder on what I might be able to say and do that might help you. And so this thought come to me. I'll give you just a little background. This thought come to me this week, Friday afternoon, as I was cleaning my gutters. I told Brother David Crawford he come over and helped me yesterday, and I want to say that Brother David doesn't take no for an answer very lightly. When I told him, "Brother, I'm okay to clean these gutters by myself," he insisted that he needed to stay and help. And Brother David was a great help to me. Appreciate him and Sister Linda very much. Love them very much. And I'm thankful for what God has done in their life. But as I was up there this week, Friday, and I began to knew that my gutters need to be cleaned. That's something a lot of us have to do on a regular basis every couple of years. Jessica, knowing my history and climbing barns, that doesn't work out real well. She said, "Well, you need to figure out a different avenue, how to get up there." And so, as I was looking up in my gutters, I had little trees growing out of them on the side of my building, and I had grass growing up, and you say, "That's pretty sorry, preacher." Well, I couldn't get up there to clean them. But what it boiled down to was is that the water that was coming off the side of the garage was just completely bypassing the gutters and just overflowing on the side. The gutters, what they were designed to do, they were no longer doing what they were designed. They were stopped up, and there was a bunch of gunk and leaves and all kinds of stuff that was cluttered up, and they was in the way. But before that water that come off the side of the roof could be carried away, I had to get in there and clean some stuff up. And that just all of a sudden come to my mind, and how that if we're not careful in this life, we'll get carried away. We'll get carried away with the things of this life. We'll get carried away with the way the ideas and the ways and the notions of how we think things need to be. We'll get carried away with those sort of things, and they'll stand in our way of following God. They'll stand in our way of doing what we are designed to do. And you say this morning, what are we designed to do? God created us. He formed us. He took us from the dust of the earth. He made us. He created us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And we know that we are a living creature. And I believe that we are designed to bring Him honor and glory. I believe that's the reason why He created us. Now, He created us with free will. We're a free moral agent this morning, meaning that we are not designed like a robot. We are not programmed to glorify God, but yet we have the free will. This morning we made a collective decision to come to the Lord's house because it's His day, to follow Him, to be obedient to His will, to do what God would have us to do. And this morning I pray that we would continue to do what we've been designed to do, not because God forces it on us, but rather because we've got a heartfelt desire this morning to do the will of God. I want to talk about this morning about what it is to be carried away. This morning, in my opinion, there's two different ways to be carried away. I want to take for a reading this morning over in 2 Kings. And we'll look at a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. We know that a city had been besieged. And I may pronounce this name incorrectly. Sennacherib, I believe, is the way you pronounce it. Had besieged the city. God had helped him. He had took the letter and he had laid it before the Lord. And he began to pray that God would help him. That God would give him direction. He did, and we know then that his life, he became very sick. And the Lord said that, basically, he said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and shalt not live. So he began to pray that God would extend his life. And God would extend his life for some 15 years, the Bible says. And Hezekiah had asked for a sign, that the Lord might give him a sign. So anyway, time moves on here, and we're in 2 Kings in the 20th chapter and the 12th verse. At that time, Berobash Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and shewed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the precious ointment, and all that the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor all his dominion, that Hezekiah shewed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that is in all thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of the sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the place and the palace of the king of Babylon. And then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good, if peace and truth be in my days? And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading. And you'll find here that, and there's different accounts that we can read about through 2 Chronicles. We can also read about over in Isaiah. this morning, but I want to take just one proof of text, if you will, and I want to, over here in Ephesians, in the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, he said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And he said, henceforth, be no more children tossed through and to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And this morning, as we begin to say that our thought was being carried away, and you'll find this morning this man by the name of Hezekiah, and you'll find throughout the scriptures that it says that his heart was puffed up, or he had a prideful heart about him. And this morning, even though he was a good man, and I believe that he had a desire in his heart to serve the Lord, my friend, he began to be puffed up with pride. And he began to think about how good God had been to him. And so here it is, he had received these letters, and he had received this present from those in Babylon. And my friend, this morning, I want you to know, as we begin to think about this, that and we've talked about this here before, but my friend Satan this morning and his devices and all of those things, he will present this world to you in such a way, my friend, that it seems desirable. He'll present it in such a way that it seems that it's something that we want and it's something that we desire to have. It's something that that if we're not careful, here it is. I believe Hezekiah maybe thought that he was doing an honorable thing, bringing them in and showing him the treasures of what God had done and what God had established. But it went beyond that, because Isaiah said, well, explain to me, what all have you showed him? And he says, well, he said, I shewed him all the house of the precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and that all that was found in his treasures. He showed him everything that he had. And this morning, I want you to know that when it comes to the spiritual state of man, when it comes to what God has sealed up in our hearts, my friend, that needs to be protected this morning. I'm thankful that God has sealed it with His Holy Spirit. I'm thankful this morning that when we're saved, that Jesus, He washes us with His own blood. And my friend, that's something that Satan can't have. It's something that he cannot touch. But I want you to know this morning that Satan is trying every way that he can. My friend, I believe he's working on preachers. I believe he's working on members of the church. I believe he's working in every aspect of the Lord's church that he can, my friend, to cause as much harm and as much division as he can. I believe that. I believe he's looking for every avenue that he can. My friend, hey, listen. We know that he's a liar, and we know that he's the father of lies. But my friend, we don't need to invite him into our homes. We don't need to invite him into our churches. Listen, when we come to the Lord's house, it's, my friend, it's time for business. When we invite him, listen, when we come through those doors and it's time to worship the Lord, my friend, we need to leave the things of the world out there. We need to leave the things of this world, the things of Satan, we need to leave those things out beyond our homes. I pray that we be a people. My friend, nowadays it seems, I'm just going to preach it like God's give it to me. It seems like nowadays we've got a hard time having a backbone about us. We've got a hard time taking a stand and saying, I will not be a part of this. My friend, this is not of God. Listen, there comes a time when we've got to take a stand and say, this is not biblical. It's not according to the Word of God. I won't watch it. I won't be a part of it. I'm not going to be a part of this conversation. My friend, if it's not according to the Word of God and the truth of His Word, we need to stay away from it. We need to stay away from it. You ask me why? Because, my friend, Satan desires to tear apart. That's what he wants. Hezekiah invited him on in. He just said, well, come on in here. Look at everything that I've got. Look at what God has done. My friend, I tell you what, we need to take the things of God and what God has done, and we need to hold them close to us. And we need to be thankful for those things that God has given us. And we need to hold them precious to us. My friend, the things that God has given to us, listen, we need to hold them with the utmost respect and reverence towards God. His holy word. Where would we be without the word of God? If we're not careful, listen, we're living in a generation, and even prior to this, we're living in a generation where most of the time, the Word of God, it might come to a Sunday service with somebody, and then the Bible sits upon the shelf at home through the week. Listen to me this morning. You may not be an avid Bible reader, but we need to study the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to learn more. I remember, listen, people has told me, preacher, you need to study. And I do want to study. And I'm thankful for what I've been able to learn. But I'm telling you this morning, you can't take it all and cram it inside your brain and want to learn it all in one day. It doesn't work that way. We've got to ask God for wisdom, for discernment, for understanding of His holy word, that He might direct us. Brother Mike was talking this morning about people looking on the how much time they spend on the telephone, scrolling through Facebook or whatever we're doing. I'm telling you, if we just took a small fraction, just a small fraction of that time and spent it in the Word of God, reading and studying the Word of Jesus, the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, those words in red ought to mean something to us. I've never met Jesus in the flesh, but I'm thankful that I can read what He wrote, what He said. I'm thankful that I can go to a place and read what He told His disciples. Read what He told those that when He healed them, I can read about Him and I become closer to Him and I gain a greater relationship with Him when I read His Word. What are we being carried away with? It's not easy, and it's not a very hard thing in this life to be carried away with all sorts of manner of things. It doesn't take you very long before, if you start missing one or two church services, before very long, you'll look back and you've missed 2 or 3 months. You get carried away. Before you know it, you're thinking, well, what have I done? I've missed 3 or 4 church services. And before you know it, it's maybe not that important to you anymore. Listen to me. If you're a member of the Lord's church, you've got a place and a purpose here. You got a place and a purpose to serve the Lord. But it doesn't take very long before we get carried away with the things of the world. What are we inviting into our homes? What are we inviting into our churches? He goes on to say, he asked him, what all have you done? He said, well, he's come from a far country, even from Babylon. And then Isaiah began to tell him. He said, all the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasure that I have not showed them. My friend, listen. I hope and I want you to understand this morning how strong that Satan can be. My friend, I'm thankful that he is not more powerful than Jesus is. That Jesus Christ, he has all power. That's what he says, all power and all authority has been given unto me in earth as it is in heaven. He has all the power. But my friend, this morning, I want you to know that Satan is very deceiving. And he's used a great number of people down through the years. Paul said that we'd be henceforth no more carried about with doctrines, false doctrines, all of these things. We live in a world now where Paul began to tell young Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, there'll be a time when they'll look for a preacher that'll come to them having itching ears. He said, but stand strong and preach the truth. And my friend, I want to tell you something this morning. The truth hurts sometimes. But I'll tell you what the truth has done. It's corrected me. And it's helped me. And my friend, we need to continue to be a people that's going to stand upon the truth of God's word. The truth. Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And you shall be free indeed. My friend, you ask me what set me free? It's the truth. It's the truth of His Word. Listen. He goes on. And Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord. He said, behold, the day is come that is all that is in thy house and which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried unto Babylon. And he said, nothing shall be left. I want you to think about here a moment. Listen. The impact that it had on his son Manasseh. How important it is this morning that we do our best. When Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. How important it is this morning that when we take up the cross and we follow after Jesus, my friend, that there's no looking back. When we take hold of the plow, we don't look behind us, but we keep looking towards that city. My friend, that city that Jesus has gone to prepare, that we keep our eye focused upon Him. Though the seas may toil and they may rage, my friend, we keep our eye focused upon Jesus Christ. What impact are we having on our children? What impact are we having on our grandchildren? My friend, I want you to know this morning that your life will have an impact on the people that you're associated with. There will come a day, I'm sure, that my boys will be able to decide for themselves whether or not they're going to come to church. But I'm going to tell you this, as long as daddy's able to, they're coming to church. There's no question about it. It's not a daddy, I don't want to go this morning. It's son, you better get clothes on. We're going to the Lord's house. We're going to go worship Him and praise Him somewhere. There's no question about on Sunday morning whether we're going to church. It's we're going, boys. You better get your clothes on. There comes a time when we sit back and we think, well, what's happened to our homes? What's happened to this and what's happened to that? Listen to me. Hezekiah's decision had an impact on Manasseh. You know what Manasseh done? He was an evil king. You realize he burned his own children in the fire, cast them and sacrificed them in the fire. And you say, well, how could somebody do something like that? Look at his father. Look how God had blessed him. My friend, listen to me. The decisions that we make will have an impact on the next generation. They'll have an impact. You asked me this morning what it is to be carried away. You realize that the water that was coming down the roof there on my garage couldn't be carried away, because of all the trash that was in my gutters. My gutters is just overflowing. Even when I took a water hose and a nozzle to it and began to try to spray it out, do you know what would happen? It wouldn't move. It wouldn't go anywhere. Do you know what I had to do? I physically had to go up and clean every bit of it out with my hands. I had to get down to business. And my friend, if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm speaking about me this morning, there's things in my life that, listen, I'm human too. There's things in my life that I need to get out of the way and I need to focus on the Lord Jesus. There's sin in our life. And you're asking me this morning, what's affecting? I asked somebody here a while back, I said, why is it that our churches just aren't necessarily in the spiritual state that they need to be? And I'm going to tell you, this is my personal opinion. I think it boils down to, my friend, we've got sin in our life. And my friend, when there's sin in the camp, my friend, listen to me. I'm not calling nobody, I'm just talking about me this morning. But if we want the power of God, we've got to get those things out of the way. We've got to clean the gunk out of the gutters. We've got to be carried away with Jesus. You ask me how I want to be carried away. I want to be carried away serving Him. I want to get carried away not with the things of the world, not with what I think that I need, but I want to get carried away serving the Lord. I want to get carried away following after Him. I want to get carried away raising my children up in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I want to get carried away in reading about the words of Jesus. I want to get carried away in serving the Lord. That's what I want to get carried away doing. I don't want to get carried away. I've been carried away by the things of the world. I've been carried away by those things before. Oh, yeah. My mind goes back to when I was a teenage boy and diesel trucks and perfume was on my mind. I was human. I went out and bought me a big old diesel truck, thought that's what I had to have, you know. Running up and down the roads. And you know what that diesel truck brought me? You know what that perfume brought me? It was heartache and trouble. But you know how I had to learn? The hard way. Oh, I've been carried away by the things of the world. And I'm not standing before you today claiming to be perfect. But I want to be carried away in the service of God. Wouldn't that be amazing? People come in here, and the power and the presence of God be here, and people say, man, that church just got carried away today. Wouldn't that be amazing for somebody to say, well, they was just in the Spirit. They got carried away in the Lord. You ever been carried away? You ever left this old world for just a little while? Oh, I have. There's been a few times that the Lord's Spirit has been by me and He's helped me. And I felt like I've left this old world just for a little while. I mean, my body was here, but His Spirit was so strong and it was all around me. I got carried away. I left this old world for just a little while. Have you ever been like that? Oh, I want to get carried away in the Lord. That's where we need. You get carried away in the service of God. You know why I say that? Because if we're carried away and we're serving the Lord, I believe in all the sincerity of my heart, the Lord will take care of Brother Casey Cole's family. He will. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, Paul says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. My friend, there's people, there's men that come in and they'll preach. And my friend, if that's one piece of advice that I could ever give to this church, is continue to stand upon the truth of God's Word. And my friend, we've got to know the truth to be able to recognize the truth. We've got to understand what the Scripture says to be able to understand it and that God might declare it to us. I fully believe in all of my heart. I don't know them all and couldn't quote them all to you, but we need to be acquainted with 18 articles of faith. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. Peter says that we need to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Why? Somebody says, well, Brother Casey, you don't believe that you can lose your salvation. No, I don't. Well, why? Because this is what the Bible says. Not because this is what Casey Cole says, but because Jesus says this. Because he said that, he talks about that no man can pluck them out of his hand. He talks about eternal life, and eternal life is something that God grants us. It also says that he's able to keep that promise. That's why I believe that. But we need to know why we believe what we believe. Not being carried away with craftiness, not tossed to and fro. The world today, that's one of the reasons why they're tossed to and fro. There's so much doctrine, false doctrine that's coming their way, most people don't know what to believe. They'll say, well, this one believes this, and this one believes that, and this one believes this, and this one believes that. You know why I believe what I believe? Because there was some old brethren that come before me that studied the Word and has been a help to me, and because I'm able to open the Word of God and I'm able to read it for myself. Listen what Paul says here in Colossians. I'm about done. Paul says here in the second chapter of Colossians in the 8th verse, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead boldly, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. He said, don't be overcome by those that have philosophy, those that have vain deceit. But I look at the way that Paul came to those that were there in Corinth. Listen to what Paul says. This was the first sermon I ever preached as your pastor. And Brother Mike said this morning, I'm going to read this and I'll be done. He said, y'all know I don't speak very good English and things, but I look at the way Paul said this. Paul said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He goes on to say that no flesh should glory in his presence. Listen to what Paul says. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And my friend, this morning, we've got a world of people that's being carried away by all kinds of false doctrine, by deceit, by the actions of people's own thoughts and what they think and how they think things should go. And my friend, we need to be carried away with Jesus and with truth, with His Spirit. We need to stay close to the Lord, to take up our cross and follow Him. What are we opening our homes to? What are we opening our children to? What are we opening our grandchildren to? Are we being conservative? Does that word mean anything to us anymore, conservative? It does to me. This morning I pray that we'd be a people that'd take a stand. We'd stand upon the truth. My friend, there's a world of people that need to hear about Jesus. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 and His disciples was on that ship and had been tossed to and fro, it says He went into a place, Gennesaret, I believe it was, and He said, though people began to hear about Him, and as they heard about Him, they began to go into the houses and began to bring those that were sick and began to lay them along the side of the road. And it said they went into those houses and it said that they carried them to Him, that if they would only touch the hem of His garment. My friend, I pray that if we're being carried away, we'd be carried away in the Lord. Let us carry people to Jesus. Oh, I can't save them this morning, but I sure can point them to the Lord. I can point them to the Lord. That'd be our thought this morning. I hope it's a help to you. It's been a help to me. That no matter where I go, I pray that I keep my eye focused upon the Lord. I want to say this to you, and I pray this would be a help to you. As Paul said, come to him.